You are listening to Ghostly Talk. Philosophy, physics, and metaphysics seem to be converging on what could be a completely new science of possibility. This is Stephen Rourke, PhD, science advisor in physics for the Center for Paranormal Research and Investigation. The folks at Ghostly Talk, like CPRI, believe that the role of science is to investigate the unexplained, not explain the uninvestigated.
Caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night? Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajun. And some other guys, too. This is no kid show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.lagghosts.com. That's www.laghost.com.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
That's right! We're paranormal investigators!
So this Keith guy, does he... Does he do very well? I mean, is he a really wonderful guest?
He's awesome.
Oh, Keith's great.
I love him.
We love him, yeah.
Oh. I do. I think Keith is phenomenal, but...
What are you worried about?
Doug, we love you more.
Sitting here? So, is Keith better looking than me?
Yeah.
Is Keith better looking than me? Does Keith...
Bonnie's coming over
here. Oh,
here
comes Bonnie to hug on him.
Oh, thank you.
All right, do you feel better now?
Yeah.
Do you want me to give you a kiss too, Doug?
No, I'm good now. Thank
you. Give me, I'll give you a kiss.
Speaking of which, we have on the phone Nathan Schoonover, paranormal investigator extraordinaire.
You got it right.
Now, why are you saying my name when you talk about getting a kiss? Well, that's what I want to know.
Because
he loves you, baby.
Because I have to tell you. When you first arrived, because you met me up in Gettysburg, right? You came up, and...
I hope that was me.
I think it was you.
If it was anybody else, I've got to explain to my girlfriend where I was.
and you came up, and came down and visited with us and stayed a couple nights. And one of the things that I told you, right when we were standing in the parking lot of the luxurious Econo Lodge,
And
I said, Bonnie has a message for you. And I can't actually do this, but I described for you what she wanted me to do.
In detail. And boy, when I say detail, he took hours to explain this.
To explain, like, a two-second thing I told him to do?
Well, yeah.
Well, he wanted to make sure I got it all right.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So all I did though was verbally describe all this. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, because I couldn't bring myself to actually do it there.
Oh, Bonnie, I got the picture.
Oh, okay, that's good. I'm glad you got the picture, honey.
But I couldn't do it there in the parking lot of the luxurious Econo Lodge.
I don't see why not.
I imagine it's been done in the parking lot.
Oh,
not with me and Nathan, but maybe with other folks and. Woo, that place. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They give freebies. There's a...
Wow, what?
Vaseline,
you get.
You're kidding me.
A little packet of Vaseline, I guess.
You're kidding me.
So that your skin is soft.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up!
Oh, thanks. I'm so sorry. And, you know, Nathan didn't hear that.
Nathan heard that.
I don't know. Not if it's...
I hear nothing.
Shut
I know nothing.
Shut up!
He doesn't hear it.
He hears it. Shut up!
I'm used to hearing it all the time.
Yeah.
All right. I'm done playing. All right. So, you guys hung out in Gettysburg.
Yes, we
basically.
Did. Basically. Yes, we did.
And what Nathan did, and, you know, Nathan's one of our illustrious field reporters. As a matter of fact, you're the field reporter for Connecticut. Am I correct, Nathan?
The great state of Connecticut.
And you actually sent over a bunch of stuff for us to check out as far as audio is concerned for the show here tonight. You actually sent over three samples that you took in Gettysburg. Do you want to talk about these? You want to play them? You want to talk about them?
Well, you know, the thing is they just haven't been confirmed yet because I sent them to Sean, and I know Sean's listening right now. So, Sean, get off your butt and listen to the EVPs. We confirm these. And... they basically, there were three EVPs. The first one was taken, you know, I don't have it in front of me.
Cavalry Field.
Oh, Cavalry Field. And if you remember, the last time we went to Cavalry Field, we were all together, and Doug and I were in a car, and both our EMF, we were using the new EMF detectors designed by Dr. Ron,
mm-hmm.
and they both of ours went off at the same time
yep.
in the same area.
That was when we were there with the
for the Eastern Regional.
Concert.
Yeah, the Eastern Regional.
The conference.
So we were there again. We decided to take a ride out again this time and see, you know, take a look at the field during the day. And as we were leaving, in the exact same spot, the EMF detectors went off.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, okay, you know, let's back up. Because last time we tried to find it, we couldn't find it. And as we backed up, we hit the spot again. And it went off. So we started to, we got out of cars, we walked around, we could not find a source of these EMF, or these EMF detections, nor did they go off again. But I figured I'd click my recorder, and you know, it's one of those times where you really get to see how much goes into looking for EVPs, because we were there for about, what, 45 minutes, and I got a half a second of a Class C EVP possibility, you know, so.
Well, do you want me to play it for you, Nathan?
You're welcome to, sure.
Okay, let's give this thing a shot. This should be the one.
And this is in the exact same location that we got a reading last time. Looks like the nearest transformer is about 500 feet away.
I heard something in the background. It wasn't Doug. I heard Doug
in
the background.
I heard me in the background.
But there was some whispering also. Is that what we were looking for there, Nathan?
Right, yeah. And like I said, it's unconfirmed at this time because I had a death in the family this week, so after I got back from Gettysburg, it was all, you know, preparing for funerals and speaking at the funerals.
Well, sorry to hear about that, man. Sorry to hear about that.
It just goes to show you how dedicated ghost hunters are, because, like, you're dealing with that during the day, and then you're spending 10 hours at night going over audio in your room.
Well, let's listen to this one more time, just so people kind of have an idea now. We've kind of front-loaded it a little bit. Let's give it another listen.
And this is in the exact same location that we got a reading last time. Looks like the nearest transformer is about 500 feet away.
Looks like there was something said right before, looks like the nearest transformer.
Yeah, and I heard it, and it sounds like a word, a single word, a single syllable word. Do you want me to tell you what I thought it said?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think we should do, yeah, let's do it. I thought it said mine.
Mine. Let's try one more time. Let's listen to it again.
And this is in the exact same location that we got a reading last time. Looks like the nearest transformer is about 500 feet away.
Something like mine, maybe. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's what
Somebody else listened to it and thought it said find me.
Find me? And I thought it said mine, which is very, very similar.
Same vowels.
Yeah.
Same vowels, yeah.
Interesting.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's whispered, it's low, it's in the background, and it's not Doug.
No, because you hear me, I'm going on and on. It's like I ghost hunt. That's how I ghost hunt.
You know, a typical thing with those kind of things, I'm sitting there going, okay, first thing I have to do is rule out any of my equipment. So I'm sitting there clicking my camera to see if the sound is anything like that, and it's not like that, so.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, and now you have another sample here. Did you want to explain a little bit about this?
This is one I'm really hoping Sean can get back to me, because if we play it, and, you know, I don't know what it is yet or not, but it's definitely a voice, and I'm talking, Sean and I were down at Spangler Springs, like Doug was off wandering around with two young ladies, and
yeah, we just had a big fight about that. Thanks a lot.
You know, Bonnie was digging me for dirt, and that's all I could give her. So, yeah.
Right.
Untrue.
Well, do you want me to play this one, Nathan?
Sure.
Okay, cool. We're going to play this. Let's just go ahead and do this.
We're recording in the Boulder at Spangler Spring. And you figure if they were shooting at him from up there, then these boulders were the only cover they had.
So it's just before you said, and you figure they were shooting, and there's this deep voice in the background,
yep.
Right? Can you play that again, Scott?
Sure.
We're recording in the boulders at Spangler Spring. And you figure if they were shooting at him from up there, then these boulders were the only cover they had.
It don't sound like Sean.
I didn't think it sounded like Sean either. But you know, it's one of those things. Investigating, you have to confirm with the person you were with. So,
I wasn't there when you were doing this because I was wandering around with two strange ladies in the woods. Right.
That's right.
And they're not strange.
Well, they were not strange.
Everyone you meet on the internet.
Can we squash this thing yet? Can we squash this thing once and for all?
That was Brenda and G.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they were nice.
Uh-huh.
And they were
fellow
ghost hunters.
And so was
the
guy that took us through the woods. He was very nice.
But Bonnie, you didn't know that guy at all, though.
So what?
Doug had a repertoire with these people.
Oh,
Nathan,
my God.
Had a repertoire with these people. Well,
repertoire.
It doesn't matter.
We made
that. It all goes back
to my girlfriend out there.
We've discussed that.
Uh oh. We got the finger going now.
She went first. I followed.
She went first.
Yes.
Uh oh.
Did I get this information before?
Yes.
I don't remember, but maybe.
Yes, you did on the show.
I was there, Scott. You got the information.
So I'm just totally forgetting everything again, per usual.
Yeah.
Per usual, Bonnie's the bad guy.
Oh, every crack.
I'm not whining. I'm used to it. I can take it.
All right. So, all right.
I want to hear the EVP again.
All right. Let's play the EVP.
Because it sounds to me. Do you want me to tell you what it sounds like?
All right.
It sounds like at least the last word that the EVP says is boulders, which is what.
That's exactly what I thought, too.
Let's play this again. I'm really interested to hear this now.
We're recording in the boulders at Spangler Spring. And you figure if they were shooting at them from up there, then these boulders were the only cover they had.
You didn't happen to have, like, a Sasquatch with you or anything, did you?
I it could have been. I had Sean with me.
I asked Sean in chat. He said that is not him.
That's not him.
And that's verified.
Okay. All right. So let's play one more. I think it's kind of a cool piece of audio. Let's play one more time.
We're recording in the boulders at Spangler Spring. And you figure if they were shooting at him from up there, then these boulders were the only cover they had.
You know, we're in the boulders.
Well, yeah, it's
in the boulders. We're the boulders.
And it's front-loaded, but the more I hear it, the more I hear it.
Right.
That I'm going to play one more time. That's such a cool piece of audio.
We're recording in the boulders at Spangler Spring. And you figure if they were shooting at him from up there, then these boulders were the only cover they had.
And for the love of God, Nathan, thank you so much for giving these clips some breathing room. I really appreciate that.
But, you know, it's funny. I actually chopped them down to send them to you because I usually put a good 10 seconds before and after my clips.
Yeah,
I can work with them.
Please don't give anybody who sends us clips or people who come on the show and play stuff. I love you all so much. Doug loves you all too much. But the thing is, give it some more breathing room so we can kind of hear what's going on before and after a little bit. Some people, I mean, the one thing in clips, it's like, okay, what do we just listen to, you know? You can really hear a lot what's going on. I mean, we'll play it again.
Yeah, and you really get the idea of what's happening.
We're recording in the boulders at Spangler Spring.
I hear it, Spangler Spring.
And you figure if they were shooting at him from up there,
do you hear something like "Where's the boulders?" or "We're in the boulders?" What do you hear the voice say, Nathan?
The first two words of it were very mumbled to me. I got "we something boulders."
Yeah, because I was thinking "We're in the boulders" or "Where are the boulders?" It's that kind of thing that I'm hearing. So I'm getting a similar.
Mm-hmm.
Sound and
from what I'm told, that's right before you fell into a mud pit, right?
Yeah, well, the next clip actually is something we picked up as I was trying to get Sean to jump over the mud pit because we had to get back out of the spring.
Well, let's play that one then. This sounds like it's going to be some comedy gold here. Here we go.
I'm the one with two stinky shoes.
All right,
I blew that one.
There could be an EVP in there, Nathan.
We don't know for the laughing, but...
I will never hear it.
All right.
The funny thing is, I cut out the line that was just before there because I had actually just asked him, why am I the one who has to jump first? I'm the one with two stinky shoes. And he was like, because you're the one with two stinky shoes.
Let's try this. Let's try this minus the
I'm
laughing this
time. Try and not laugh. All
right, here we go.
I'm the one with two stinky shoes. Like, I'm always the first one to try it.
Okay, I'm gonna do it again, and I'm gonna pull the mics out again too. All right, I did that for the last one. I'm gonna pull the mics out again.
I didn't laugh.
I know you didn't, but it was a fail safe.
Is the EVP a breath or a
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard that too.
All right,
let's try
I
want to
hear that
time.
Again. Yeah.
I'm the one with two stinky shoes. Like, I was the first one to try it.
I brought us back in.
I'm sorry. That,
so you're,
that's never going to be fully analyzed.
Well, you know, the best part is I have the clip that came when I actually fell into the mud puddle. There were no EVPs there, but, you know, I couldn't play that one for you because I couldn't chop all the curses out of it.
Nice.
It would be
beep, 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 beep. I'm
well, there was this breathy thing. There's this breathy
the
thing.
The breathy
ahead,
thing.
Bonnie.
What, Don?
Go ahead. You analyze that, then I'll ask the next question.
All right, all right. Well, there is a breathy thing. Let's play
there
it.
There is a breathy thing, and I... Oh, okay.
Well, here, I'll just do it again.
I'm the one with two stinky shoes. I'm always the first one to try it.
I may be reading into this a little bit, but it kind of sounds like someone's... It's going to sound so goofy. It sounds like someone's last breath, kind of. Like,
it doesn't sound like a death rattle to me.
It doesn't sound like a death rattle.
To me, it sounds like somebody saying hello.
Hello?
That's what I hear. I hear hello.
Yeah.
Well, it's so upsetting to me.
I'm the one with
so
two stinky shoes. Yeah. I was the first one to try it.
Tom says it sounds like, yeah, maybe they were agreeing that you had stinky shoes.
Yeah.
Maybe they were trying to hold their breath from the
it's something definitely there.
It's so weird because it's right over the top of everything else.
Yeah, it's really clear. It's really, really clear.
But you don't know because it's a breathy one, so you don't know what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the classifying EVPs becomes important because that makes that a Class B EVP. You can hear it clearly, but you can't make out what it says.
Yeah, there's not really any legible words being said. Who knows what it could be?
Yep.
Let's move over to Eastern State.
Eastern State.
You had an excursion there not too long ago, and you sent us some stuff for that also.
I went with the New Jersey Ghost Hunters. It was a fabulous trip.
I'm wearing their T-shirt right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Yeah, I'm wearing their T-shirt. Great bunch of people out there. They were really great. We met them in Gettysburg, by the way. Really cool people. Yeah. So you went to Eastern State. You sent us a couple of clips on that also. I didn't grab the notes that you put in your email on that. So I have two clips here. Did you want to hit the first one and kind of explain what was going on
there? Sure. I believe the first one is from Cell Block 4, the famous Dude Run cell.
Uh-huh.
I actually set up my recorder. You know, after we went with New Jersey Ghost Hunters, they gave a brief, you know, little lecture on how to use equipment. And we went and set our equipment up. And I went down and set up a recorder, only to find out later that where we were, where I said it was where most things are seen and heard before. And this was the only thing I picked up, and it seems to be voices in the background. I haven't been able to determine what they say.
But, all right, let's give it a listen.
And this is in the exact same location that we got a reading last time.
That's Gettysburg.
That's Gettysburg.
Those are the same files. Those are the files you sent me, Nathan.
Is it? Oh, no.
Oh, good job, Nathan.
Oh, well, that's good because Sean wants me to ask you about the rock experiment. Anyways.
Oh, God.
Oh, the rock experiment.
All right, so scratch Eastern State. All right, we don't.
Well, let me just say this about Eastern State because I know you guys are going.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fabulous, fabulous place. If anybody wants to get out there, get out there. There's daytime trips that you can get in there. And I know New Jersey Ghost Hunters is still running certification courses and nighttime trips out there. So, you know, you can find out their information on njghs.net.
Check that out. Yeah, great group of people, too, by the way. Like I said, they're really great, and they're fun to work with, too.
Right.
From what Nathan said. I just hung out with them. They're really cool.
The rock experiment.
Experiment.
Have you had anything go wrong that shouldn't go wrong?
You know, I honestly, the big joke that I gave my girlfriend about the rock experiment was, you know, to explain a little bit about the rock experiment, where...
Yeah, because I'm ready to send my rock to you. That's all I'm saying.
Really?
I don't want this rock anymore.
And I'd take that rock out for you.
Yes, you did. Thanks. What a wonderful rock. It really has magical powers. And I
in Gettysburg, on the hill of, what is that, Little Round Top, where they did the famous bayonet charge, there's a rumor that if you take one of the rocks from the hill home with you, the spirits will follow you. And so Doug, Sean, and I decided to do the rock experiment and bring it home, each bring a rock home with us. And I jokingly left mine at work.
Good idea.
So it was, you know, so when my girlfriend said, you know, I told her about the experiment, she was like, oh, that's exactly what we need. I was like, oh, don't worry, I left it at work. It's their problem now. But, you know, the only unusual thing is I actually got, I work late at my job. When everybody else is gone and gone home, I'm still there. And there have been a few unusual noises in the office after hours, like the blinds moving and things like that. But there haven't been any unusual circumstances.
What about you, Doug?
I'm not going to take my rock to work because, you know, I want to be able to have a job. I swear this rock will put my whole work out of business. Okay, so I come home from Gettysburg and I've got this rock.
Yeah.
Right? And I actually thought about this like on Thursday or something of last week. I'm like, I should just throw that rock away. So I come home from Gettysburg and everything's all hunky-dory. I pretty much slept almost all day Tuesday. And Tuesday night, my internet goes out at like 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Goes out. So we called and we got the guy to come out, but he wasn't coming out till Thursday.
Yeah.
I blame my internet going out for, now, mind you, I've had this internet service since January of 2005. So we are in our, what, 20, I'm in my 23rd month of having this internet company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the cable modem blew up. And, you know, I was talking with Jonathan earlier today, and he goes, well, why were you not on the internet this week? And I said, my cable modem blew up. It just quit working. And he says, that doesn't happen. And he used to work for a cable company.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, not normally, but it happened to me, you know. Okay. And so
most people don't have a rock.
So I blame the rock. I really do.
Well, what you have to do now.
Yeah.
You can't throw it away.
I have to burn it?
No, you have to take it back. Yeah, take it back to Gettysburg.
Haven't you ever seen the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, you have
to take it back.
Oh, the little tiki doll thing that they had to take back to the... didn't they have to take a tiki doll back to the spider-infested cave? Is that what they had to do on the Brady Bunch?
Well, I don't think it's quite that traumatic for you.
They were in Hawaii.
Yeah,
you know, I will say this, Doug. I did bring the rock home last Friday night. And
yeah.
For the first time in over a year, I lost power.
Nice.
First time I'm in my 23rd month, I lost internet for 2 days.
You guys both need to have, we need to have a powwow back at Gettysburg and get rid of these rocks.
So, Bonnie, 28?
What was that, Nathan?
The rock doesn't seem to be doing anything bad to me. I like the rock.
Oh, my rock doesn't like my internet, so.
I didn't know you guys did this until now.
Well, I didn't even think about it until Thursday when I was driving home from work. Because I had to go to work because I didn't have internet.
Sean's on the line there. Did he have anything happen with
I just
rock?
Asked him.
Oh, you just asked him? What do you say?
I'm waiting.
Oh, we're waiting. Okay.
I mean, I just asked him. Talk about, talk amongst yourselves.
Over the head for bringing that rock home.
We're going to find out in the chat room what Sean has had happen to him.
If his ADD will slow down, then he'll answer the question.
We might have to ask him after the break, unfortunately.
Yeah,
we'll
have to
the answer.
The
I tell you, why don't we do that? Nathan, unfortunately, it's 8:30. We got to kind of go to our next surprise guest.
Yes.
Surprise guest.
I don't think
I
even
definitely
know.
Listen in.
We have a surprise guest.
Do I know who the
Doug
surprise
said he
guest
doesn't
is?
Know. I said I do.
Oh, we should know. We host
I called him.
We host the show. Oh, you don't know who this is?
Did I look this?
Nathan, thank you for coming out. We always love talking to you. You're
a
dear friend. You're a dear friend. We'll be talking real soon. Hang on the line, though. We're just going to go to break here. Hang on the line.
Sounds good.
Guys, this is Ghostly Talk. We have one more half an hour.
Yes.
Very, very busy show. Surprise guest. Going to talk about some really interesting stuff that's going on the website, the Ghostly Talk website. Some projects this particular guest has that we're working on with them together.
Very interesting.
Hang tight, guys. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com. Thank you.
Hey, this is Brian Hunwell with the Atlantic Paranormal Society, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk. So stay tuned and make sure you don't pull another one of those Dude Runner episodes like I did.
I couldn't wait anymore, Doug. I was hungry.
Evidently.
This is good stuff, though.
It is. Very good.
Excellent. I am on a diet.
Today?
Yeah.
Today. You were yesterday.
No, I restarted it again today.
Oh, okay.
I was messaging with Bonnie like all
until
like, when
5
I,
o'clock in the morning.
Right. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so fat. So I, that's what I said. And so
I also got a smoker's lung. I also sound like Sylvia Brown.
Ooh.
Oh, that was bad. That was
Ooh.
Bad. Sorry.
All right, all right,
I love you, Sylvia. Anyway, the
call us.
Call me. I was feeling rather large that night, and so I started my diet again today because I was off it for my vacation.
All right, man. All right. There you go.
Dun, dun. So
I have to say, we have a surprise here tonight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always graced to have this person on our show. He's opened our minds.
Yes.
He's showed us different ways of thinking about a certain subject. And he's just, bottom line, he's just a really cool guy.
He's right.
Just a lot of fun to talk to. So I want to mention, Doug, it's all you. I'm tired.
And plus, there's been some very exciting developments and very exciting things since the last time we talked with this person. So we would like to welcome Dr. Stephen Rourke back to Ghostly Talk. Welcome.
Hey there, guys.
We've been working on some stuff together a little bit, and I know we want to get into something else, but I want to point people to the direction of this on the website, because sometimes people go on the site and they just go to one place, and that's it. They go right to the free downloads. That's it, right? But there's a lot more going on the Ghostly Talk website than that. One thing that's really cool that we took some time to put together is under the projects block on the homepage. You'll see, and we might have to change the title of this after tonight, too, Dr. Rourke. We talked about that last week. It says Spiricom or Spiricon. Okay? Click on that link, and it's this huge page filled with just jam-packed with a ton of information by yours truly that we put together on the Ghostly Talk site. It's a very interesting read. I suggest everybody go there and check this out. And Dr. Rourke, I want to thank you for letting us host that on our site. We're really honored to do that.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate the time you've put into it. Yeah, what I wanted to discuss tonight, then, is basically an update. I would suggest the title remain the same. It still is a question if it's Spiricom or Spiricon. But I've essentially spent the bulk of my time kind of discussing reasons to doubt the authenticity of Spiricom. And while working with fellow researcher Jim Hale, let's just say I've come up against some data, some information, some research that essentially also supports Spiricom. So tonight I just want to spend a little bit of time perhaps offering some reasons to believe Spiricom to be authentic.
See, now here's where you're really going to start confusing folks.
And I love it.
And I love it, too. I think this is fantastic.
Well,
because do you know what,
do you know what this
means? Because basically, we've gotten a lot of emails, right? And a lot of people are talking about this, Well, he doesn't, the Spiricom thing, the whole George Mueller and all this stuff, and everybody was, some people were upset, some people were intrigued. Most people, I think, were intrigued.
Oh, absolutely.
By the way.
Yes.
But, and some people were ambivalent. But for the most part, I think people were intrigued with what you said. And what happens is now we're going to go and turn it around and say, you know what?
Here's some reasons to believe it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, turn it around, and you know what this means? It means this, folks, is an open mind.
Mm.
This is looking at the evidence or what you can find out. It's looking at history, looking at the research, looking at the facts from all different angles. And I have to say, Dr. Ork, thank you so much for doing this, because this is a concrete example of an open mind. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I think that's just what good research is. See, it's supposed to be the very meaning of research is to take multiple looks at the very same subject. It's as if you're investigating every, you know, facet of a single notion or idea and trying to kind of approach it with the idea of falsifiability, and, you know, testing it for validity. That's all we're doing. I don't see as it being anything beyond what real research ought to be. But unfortunately, people do, you're correct, they often engage in research and then they tend to select and pick and choose just the evidence that fits their preconceived notions. That's a real shame.
It's a real shame.
And this is a concrete example of the opposite. This is a concrete example of showing how something should be researched and then researched and then researched until all the facts or as many facts as you can dig up are known, and then look at it from every possible angle, and I absolutely adore that. So you have been talking to Jim Hale.
Oh, yeah. Now, let me tell you a little about Jim Hale, and then we can get into why perhaps the website will need updating, if not the title itself, certainly some other aspects of it, just to lay this out so someone can jot it down and make sure I get to this point. there are, in fact, provably two separate Muellers. Okay, so but first let me get now to Jim Hale. He is a self-described offbeat electronic mystic, and I think that's a fun title, and it kind of describes Jim, although that title isn't to be trivialized as far as his experience goes, because he brings over 40 years of experience as a radio and electronics hobbyist to the field of paranormal investigations. Mm-hmm. He was at one time what I think to be perhaps the most important member of CPRI for years. His articles on EVP and phone calls from the dead for the CPR website have received world attention, worldwide attention. But I think he's probably best known for his gadgets. You know, he invented the Brain Fritzer, now being popularized in Bobby Atrestein's book. And he invented the Hummer, still in use by the outfit and even some other paranormal research groups. So he is he's a real out-of-the-box and very creative thinker. And in case folks don't know, I'll just take a minute to perhaps describe specifically some of the projects, because that's some information you hadn't gotten. And I'm so familiar with Jim's work, I can just recapitulate. The Hummer is a device that allows investigators and researchers to actually hear ambient EMF radiation in real time. It was originally called the infrasounder, and that was for monitoring infrasound frequencies, and also the Brain Fritzer, which was a simple means for studying low-frequency electromagnetic effects, basically the effects of low-frequency electromagnetic fields on the brain, kind of along the line of Dr. Michael Persinger, which anyone truly investigating paranormal phenomenon bumps up against. This is Persinger, who basically has made his career on the falsifiability aspect of paranormal phenomenon. In other words, he can recreate a haunting experience by way of these low-frequency electromagnetic pulses and fields generated around the brain, specifically the frontal lobes. But so, Jim is Jim Hale. He's especially proud of his breakthrough discoveries in a field I think you'll be hearing more about, if you haven't already, ultraviolet photography. He wrote the articles "What Color Is a Ghost?" and was involved in something called Project Hawkeye. He was kind of thinking along these lines, just, I guess, a little bit after Trevor Constable, but applying it specifically to the field we're kind of interested in, instead of, you know, aerial phenomenon like Trevor Constable did. So anyway, he's actually a special award winner with Outstanding Innovations in 2005 from CPRI. And so today he's working with me, and he's continuing his research and his out-of-the-box thinking. He's a really independent investigator with a similar mindset toward all things paranormal that we seem to have. So he kind of has this pet project now with me around Spiritcom and George Meek's well-known device for communicating with spirits. He's the first I know to do this. I know others have attempted to replicate the Spiritcom. His approach is very different and interesting. Listen to this. He is reverse engineering the Spiritcom because he's so familiar with so many different kinds of guts and internal components of these things. He essentially can do this. This is beyond my capability, which is why we're teaming up. So he eventually hopes to actually build a modern-day version that will replicate the O'Neill results reported by George Meeks. So I think he's our best hope of getting there, quite frankly. I'm real impressed with him. And I know anyone, I hope to kind of hand him off to you guys. You'd enjoy him as a guest. What's that?
We'd love to have him anytime. Just let us know.
Oh, and you know, another thing, once he builds one of these devices...
We want him to send us one.
Well, yeah, we need one. No. Actually, there is somebody else, somebody very, very big in the paranormal talk show field who is deeply, deeply interested in Spiritcom and any modern devices similar to it. And that would be one Art Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, now, yeah.
Constantly talking about it. And
well,
he
brings it up a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he would love to see a modern-day version. And I bet he would probably fly back to look at it. I really think he would. He's that into it.
Well, he's the reason we got into it.
And he's the reason,
we're sitting here right now probably talking about
it. And we started studying the Spiritcom stuff and talked to Mark Macy and all that.
Uh-huh.
It was because of Art Bell mentioning it on that one show
a couple years ago. Yeah.
You know, this is that's interesting that you brought Art and Mark Macy up because the fact is few had really... heard of the Spiritcom before Art Bell. The fact is, he did kind of popularize it, at least at the level that we all kind of connected with it.
Yeah.
And Mark Macy, who has a lot of theories on this, Jim Hale is kind of aligned with some of Mark's thinking on this, and he actually wants to not only chat with you guys on the show, because I don't think I can basically recap everything Jim knows, but of course he wants to speak with Mark Macy at some point too, because there's a neat kind of tension between Jim Hale and I. We tend to keep each other honest, because as researchers, I confess my bias that if there were a paranormal belief spectrum, I'm closer to the zero end than he is. And I tend to be fascinated with it as a subject, but you couldn't really put me firmly in the believer camp. Now, the reason I work with Jim is you can't put him in the believer camp, but at the same time, he confesses, he divulges his, he kind of lays out the fact that he tends to be a little further toward the 10 on the belief scale. So that tension there, it forces us to keep each other honest. So we're basically in this Spiritcom research contest, you see. So I come up with reasons to doubt, and he comes up with reasons to believe. And eventually, I think we're going to find the truth in the middle.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, very
interesting. So what are some of the reasons that you guys have discussed? Why would Spiritcom be perhaps a valid device and experiment?
All right, in a word... spectrum analysis. And
that's two words, but go ahead.
Oh, right. Yeah. So Jim Hale, who is real familiar with this, and the folks that aren't, he's explained it in such a way that I think it can be communicated to the general audience. But I think you have a group of folks that probably have fooled with this kind of software before. To start. Well, shall we do this like in England, where they lay out the theses and then they support it, or should I build up to it? I mean, without knowing what spectrum analysis is, it's almost pointless to kind of state why this given data set is important. So let me just quickly tell folks that spectrum analysis is basically a technique for studying the frequency distribution of energy output within a given set of data. So let's just say that Jim has looked closely at the actual Spiracom tapes. And if, in fact, Metascience, through O'Neill's designs, was claiming that there was a 13-tone audio signal generator,
mm-hmm.
something that would be very difficult, basically, to fake, you would need 13 tones. In other words, you couldn't just have some knucklehead on the other end with a spooky effect on his voice and have it be recreated, essentially, in the same 13 tones that the Spiracom device called for. Now that, you know, my idea of there being a ham radio operator basically perpetrating a fraud upon the Metascience Foundation, that is not sustained by the actual data set of the frequency distributions, in other words, like a pictorial representation of the Spiracom tapes. In other words, when O'Neill speaks, a standard human voice, it is represented as a human voice in spectrum analysis. Whenever the Doc Mueller speaks, there are 13 striations across the data set image. And these 13 layers represent the tones through which the voice is communicating. So, even I am willing to admit it's kind of outside any semblance of reality to believe that if there were a ham radio operator on some novel technological basis was communicating with O'Neill, I find it very hard to believe myself that he would know which 13 tones to communicate with O'Neill at, unless, of course, they spent hours upon hours kind of fine-tuning on, which is entirely possible, but it just belies the simplistic notion of there being a ham radio operator scam and does kind of support the reasons to believe Spiracom camp. I'm willing to admit that. Because the spectrum analyzer, it can either be what's called a discrete hardware device, like an on-off kind of thing, or a software program. And quite frankly, he has the technological ability to look at both. And that's what Jim is following up on. So he was hesitant to kind of encourage me to go forward with this even tonight, because he's quick to clarify that all of this is in its infancy. He's going to take a lot of time on this with the crystal clear version that can be downloaded through Ghostly Talk, which, by the way, is the best version anyone can find on the internet anywhere. The rest of them are full of this, like, nutty MP3 conversion artifact, makes the whole thing sound like junk.
That one was pulled, I told you that before, that one was pulled right off the cassette.
Exactly. It's absolutely beautiful in its sound quality. So Jim is really, let's just say he's just tackling this thing full on, and when he hit me with that, I basically didn't know what I was looking at, because if you can imagine, I know the folks can't see it, but I'll explain as clearly as I can.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine it's called a spectrograph, but just imagine this wash of colors on your screen, and essentially there are columns, and the columns represent, because there's a time axis and there's a frequency scale, the colors represent sentences spoken at a given time, these columns. That's your time axis running along from left to right. These columns represent what is spoken at a given time. Like in the tapes, when it's they're counting to 10 and he's reading Mary Had a Little Lamb, and O'Neill is kind of punctuating the conversation with, yes, I understood, doctor, and okay. So all that's happening from left to right. What's occurring from top to bottom is essentially the frequency scale. So that scale is essentially, it's punctuated by 13 different striations, like strata, like layers. And that coordinates exactly with what the claims of Spiracom were, that there was a 13-tone generator being used so the spirit voice could resonate with with some kind of similitude and recreate a human voice. It's essentially going on. And so that, I think that's a big piece of data that cannot be ignored. That's a technological hurdle someone on the other end would really have to, I don't know, it has a layer of difficulty that is almost beyond the pale of chance. Unless we're back in the camp of a very targeted psychological operation, in which case, you know, someone at the time could have been home and rooting through his papers and all of this. Worse has been done to Nikola Tesla, for example, and that was when technology wasn't so readily available.
Yeah, well, I mean, taking out the factor of the fraud factor, like, you know, they did put some time to make sure this thing was very accurate. We're looking at numbers now. As far as you guys have revealed through spectral analysis, we have seen these 13 layers, and they coincide with the 13 tones we've been hearing all about concerning SpiritCop. That's, I mean, and I'm by no means am I convinced about anything.
indicates to me is that they did successfully create the voice out of these 13 tones, and they weren't fooling themselves that, you know, whatever was coming through the little speaker happened to be a ghost. Well, they might have been fooling themselves about that, but they weren't fooling themselves about the technological underlyings of what they have created with the SpiritCom device. That it really was 13 tones that they had anticipated would be the ones that a spirit could vibrate and create a voice with. So it is interesting. So the technologically, it did seem to be what they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I need to put a finer point on it. The fact that there were 13 tones, it coincides with the claims of the SpiritCom device. However, Jim Hale is quick to point out that these 13 specific frequencies that are claimed in the SpiritCom manual on page 40, those are not the frequencies being produced by the multi-tone generator, according to Jim Hale's analysis.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, he says the 13 tones were actually being generated in roughly 105 hertz increments, and he mentions the spectral bandwidth there and all that. Let's not throw a whole bunch of numbers out. It's just going to confuse matters. The point is, that's a devil in the details, to be sure, but it is interesting that there were 13 tones and it coincides with the claims. So I don't know exactly where he's going with that. Frankly, I don't understand the spread spectrum there. Besides the 105 hertz increments being important because it puts the spread precisely from 131 to 701 hertz, like on the SpiritCom page. In other words, you follow me if you do the math?
Right.
Yeah.
Spreads between 131 and 701 would be 131. They're claiming then, they claim, so 141, 151, 241, 272, 289, 292, 302, all the way up from 653 and then 701. So anyway, the point is he's looked at this quite precisely, and slight variations in his mind are kind of acceptable. Slight variations are acceptable because there's this playback speed issue of cassette and stuff. But those are very slight. That wouldn't account, he doesn't think at this very moment, that wouldn't account necessarily for the discrepancy in the tones. Now, he does consider the idea of electronic filtering making things a little more difficult as far as spectral analysis goes. So this electronic filtering may be a larger issue, but that requires greater technological transparency. In other words, seeing beyond the block diagram of the SpiritCom and seeing into the actual device. See, most people don't realize this, but the SpiritCom manual never offered what are officially schematics. They're only block diagrams. And block diagrams are, they're a level of detail so far below an actual schematic, it doesn't really give people who are looking to reproduce the exact device everything they need. It gives them essentially a conceptual overview of what it is while still retaining most of the proprietary specifics of a device. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Dr. Rourke, unfortunately, we're at the top of the hour. But what I want to do, though, I know we have some more updates we were talking about doing to the page here on the Ghostly Talk site.
Yeah, so, we're going to have to update it because it right now gives the representation that it's case closed, and I don't want to perpetuate that any longer with this new evidence.
Let's talk about that for a few minutes after the show. We do have to close the show out, unfortunately.
All right, guys.
Guys, this has been Ghostly Talk. what a night.
Yes, hang on the line. Hang on the line, Dr. Rourke.
Yeah.
This has been one of the fastest ones. It's good to be back in the Haunted World.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, Doug. We didn't mean that about Keith.
I know.
I love him, and I love you more.
I have to say I appreciate Keith filling in and all the folks meeting me up in Gettysburg for my vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back in the saddle, back in the chair. I am ready to continue doing Ghostly Talk for you guys because thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks a lot,
everybody for listening, and thank you to everybody for coming on the show and making it what it is.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Everybody helps us out with the show, comes on here and hangs out, whatever it may be. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving. We're going to be on the air on Tuesday.
Tuesday night. Yep, Tuesday.
But shortly after that, of course, is Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Have a safe one.
Mm-hmm.
And until Tuesday, and then, of course, our next regularly scheduled broadcast next Sunday, this has been Ghostly Talk.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
The media becomes the media.